Do you ever give like a stranger a lift? Have you ever done that lately? Oh. No?
Well, you tell your story.
Well, I used to pick up hitchhikers in the 80s and stuff.
That is really rolling the dice.
It's really rolling. I wouldn't do it now.
By yourself or with...
Yeah, well, I used to pick him up all the time. I don't know.
You're a good guy like that.
I'm a good guy, but it's dangerous. Well, I remember I picked up a guy near the beach. It was like out of a movie. It was like he came out of nowhere hitchhiking. I thought, no one's going to pick him up. I picked him up and he's like, oh, thanks, man. I just got out of jail. That was his opening gambit. Now, he was all right. Anyway, now there's this guy. I drive down the shops nearly every day, right? And I drive along a busy road. And there's often this disabled guy and he's got a walking frame, be about my age.
Mm.
And he can only say a few words, and he's at the bus stop often, right? So I drive past, I go do my shopping, then I come back and he's still there.
Yeah, you feel bad.
And so I drive the other day, and I'm like, do you want a lift? He's like,
How old?
My age, 50s. Right. I come in, I get his walking frame. He's a bit reluctant to get in the car, but then he got in, and all the way we're driving, and he just works in like a sheltered workshop, what we used to call a sheltered workshop, two bus stops down the road, in a big old house where they put stuff in boxes, right? And he's like, all the way there, driving there, he's like, $5. I'm like, mate, I don't want your money. I'm a good guy. Huh? I'm a good guy.
$3.50.
$5. Anyway, so I've done this at least twice, right? I see him there, and I feel bad for him. Anyway, the other day I go to this cafe near the bus stop, and he's there again, and he sees me and he waves, and he yells out, $5. And I'm like, hey, good on you, buddy. And the cafe owner's like, oh, do you know that guy? I'm like, yeah, that guy, yeah. I'll give him a lift sometimes. She goes, look, I know he's disabled, but he's really annoying. He hassles my customers. He's always begging, and he always asks for the same amount of money, $5. So he didn't want to give me $5.
He wanted $5.
He wanted $5.
Oh.
And apparently she told me that the manager of the workshop said he often doesn't come to work. He just stays at the bus stop all day begging. So me giving him a lift, he probably didn't even want to get in the car. He's like, this guy's taking me to work.
He's going, he must be going to the bank to pick up some money to give me the $5. Yeah.
$5.
I was down the shops one day and there was an old guy trying to get a taxi. And so I
thought, you offered a lift?
I offered a lift. And I thought, I gave him a lift back. He was a lovely guy. He must have been mid-80s. And he had a walking frame. And I took him back to his home, which was about a five-minute drive away. And as I'm dropping him off, I'm going, you know what? I don't do enough for the community. I should drop around and see people and visit them and talk them out. So I said, would you like me to take you out another day? He goes, yeah. I go, I think his name is Ray. I said, okay. How about I pick you up next Thursday? So I come down next Thursday, pick him up, take him down the shops. And I say to him, okay, I'll drop you here and I'll pick you up in about, let's say, half an hour. He goes, yep. So I go and do some shopping, go back to the spot.
Not there.
Not there. I've lost him.
Oh, Ray. Or Ray may have passed away.
Oh, well, how do I explain it to the police that I've lost him? How do you know him? I just picked him up one day. And what, you brought him down here? Did you tell the home? No. And it took me about an hour to find him.
And where was he?
Oh, he was just wandering around. He didn't know what time it was and he didn't know where he was.
Oh,
no. So, you know, it was in fairness to him, but I felt terrible. Anyway, so then I took him home. I thought, maybe I shouldn't do things. I shouldn't.
You get involved.
But what I might do is I might bring some DVDs around. VCRs around. He had a VCR player in his room.
Yeah, right.
And so...
Was he in a home?
He was in a home.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I thought, I'll visit you next week. Bring some stuff around. So I bring some... Oh, my God. I bring some VCRs around. And he goes, I'll say over there. And I turn it on and I put the VCR in. I break his VCR. He hasn't got much. Wait, now he doesn't get out much. And now he can't even watch a movie because I've bugged out everything. So I just thought, this is not meant to help these people. It's just not
right.
Anyway, so it turned out a bad time. I don't know whether I should tell the story. It's really gross about a hitchhiking story.
Oh, what happened? Did someone do something or?
Should I tell it at the end?
Yeah, tell it at the end.
Only because it's one of the most horrific stories. It's not murder.
What are you, Ivan Milat?
Nothing happened.
Right. But you're one of his brothers.
It's a horrible story, but it's not like.
No, it's not murder.
It's not murder or anything else.
Someone pooed their pants or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, very close. Someone threw up.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, but you don't want. But what happened after that? It'll put you off. Well, mind you, we'll finish the.
Leave it to the end.
No, it's just saying, turn off now. Turn off at the end when you hear music at the end. If you don't want to hear the story.
Okay. All right. All right. Here comes the music.
Hello. Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast. It's been a rocky road so far.
Yeah, but you know what? You're never wrong if you meant well. You meant well by giving that guy
exactly.
a ride.
Exactly. I didn't know he wanted $5 off.
I meant well by taking that guy down the shops.
You did well. We're very, very community members. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't give that guy a lift anymore. I give him a finger as I drive past.
It does remind me of that time that I think I've told the story before. I have to stop saying that. Where I was at the restaurant and a guy on the next table turns around and goes, can you do a photo? And I went, sure. And I got up and put his arm around his wife and said, fire away. And he didn't want me to be in the photo. He wanted me to take a photo.
A great story. I didn't mind hearing that again. Should we go to our topics?
Yes, please.
The flossing dance and the U.S. Federal District Court.
Wow. Well, I'm very aware of the flossing dance because I've got teenagers.
Now, hang on a sec. I only recently became aware of it. Is it flossing dance or is it floss dance?
Well, sort of both. Whatever. I think call it whatever. The floss dance. The
and is it true that it came from Katy Perry seeing someone dance in the street?
No. I know. I actually read an article about the guy who invented it. It's a kid. It's a teenager.
But I think that's the
kid with the backpack on.
I think that's the kid.
Yeah, that's
same
the kid.
Kid.
Yeah, and he does this. And so, for people that don't know, it looks like you're flossing your bottom, basically.
It looks like you're flossing between your legs. Yeah.
So it's sort of a bit rude. So that's why kids love it. My kids love it. They do the flossing dance. In fact, I had a dream, and this is true. I said to my son, who's in year 10. I had a dream that I was asked by your principal to illustrate the flossing dance at your U10 assembly.
What does that mean?
He goes, that's a nightmare, Dad. I almost want to go and do it just to see what happens.
So it went
viral
from him being on YouTube.
Yeah, he put himself on YouTube. I think I can't read the article ages ago, but he put himself doing several dances on YouTube, and he always had a backpack on, and he always do the floss. He did several dances, but the flossing one is the one that took off.
And it wasn't intended to be, look, here's how you floss, but it's just a move.
It's just a move he invented in his bedroom to impress his mates. He's like a 16-year-old kid. And so then, yeah, Katy Perry did it in a film clip, and all other people were doing it, like the rugby players were doing it, you know. You see AFL players doing it.
So it's
now.
A worldwide thing.
It's a worldwide phenomenon.
And now kids are doing it at parties, obviously, because they can learn the move.
School concerts, they do it. I went along to the school musical.
So it's peaking right now.
Went along to the school musical the other day, which goes for about 2 hours. Anyway.
Did you have a little sleep? Because you can.
Oh, I can't. I was near the
Did you see me? Because if you missed their bit, you're in big
trouble. I saw my youngest.
And you, what, the whole, could you see over the whole lot of phones being held up to film it?
Yeah, to film it. It's good though, they do a great job. But some of the kids were flossing there, just random flossing going on.
Because someone was talking about the other day, and I thought it was flossing dancing. And I was, the movement I'm doing now is.
Are you doing the teeth? That's not the flossing dance. Oh, Dad, you're an idiot.
See, that would be good if. Hey, let's get it, and you just go like this.
Yeah, go like the flossing motion with your teeth.
Do you floss?
Yeah. My wife does it every night.
It's very important.
But I don't. How often do you do it?
I don't know whether I do it all the time. I carry these.
Oh, you do? You've got little twinkers or pinkers or what they're called.
Pinksters.
So what, you floss every day? Every day?
I would. No, that's not flossing. This is much better than flossing.
It's a twixter.
It's a brush on the end of a stick.
Yeah.
Which looks a little bit untoward when you're with stuff.
My daughter's got those. She's got those because she's got braces.
Yeah, and they're great. But I reckon.
I floss about once a week.
You know the world's scungiest? Biggest money-saving person in the world. He used to reuse his...
Oh, no, use his floss. Yeah.
He would clean his floss and roll it back up again.
Not?
Oh, seriously. is it not representative of your... If you build up there, is it not representative of your arteries
yes.
in some way?
Yes. It's bad for your heart health. That's right.
But just cleaning it out doesn't necessarily... Is it indicative... Or is it if you clean it out? I can't imagine that cleaning it out is going to help your heart.
I'm not a cardiologist, so I don't actually know. But I've just read there is a connection. That's
so
a
you should
related.
You should keep it clean.
Flossing and heart attacks. Yeah, keep it. Yeah, definitely. Mm. And also, you always go, oh, what's the point of flossing? I'm just going to brush, and then you floss and you get all this gunk out. You're like, oh my god,
yeah,
it's,
it
look
stinks
at this.
Sometimes.
Oh yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. I went to the dentist the other day.
Oh yeah,
he tells jokes all the time.
And, oh really?
Yeah, and he didn't like my jokes that much.
You're a professional.
I was a little offended. Anyway.
My dentist, I tell you why I went to my dentist once. I hadn't been to this dentist ever before, and he just looks in my mouth and he goes, do you drink soft drink and eat lollies? Oh. And I said, are you a psychic? He's like, no, I'm a dentist. I can tell by your teeth. So, yeah, I do. And anyway, I had beautiful teeth and I've ruined them.
You have not. Your teeth are fine.
No, I've got like an implant. I've got caps and stuff. But yeah, that could be worse. But
I got the worst feeling I ever had when I just used to put a mint in my mouth because I get very when you're doing acting scenes, you get very paranoid about having a bad breath. And I just put a mint in my mouth and let it sit there. And that's the power of sugar.
Made a hole.
You put a mint and just sit it in your mouth. It will just corrode a tooth. You go, what have you been putting there? And it was just one mint in the same spot.
Sugar's good stuff.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff. Yeah, powerful. So flossing dancing or floss dancing would be a craze at the moment.
Definitely a craze.
So what are the big
Well, let's go backwards. Dabbing was the other one.
Dabbing?
Dabbing, where you dab like this. I'm going to illustrate it. You put your hands up like this, like you sort of... You see, again, NRL, what do they call the American rugby players doing it?
Oh.
And it's like a thing. Kids do it. They dab at school and they dab and they ban dabbing. We banned it in our house because our son knocked over a vase. So... He's only allowed to dab outside.
Take your dab outside, son.
See, by the compost being late at night, just stirring the dab, man, dab. So that's sort of like a dance move, but it's not like a dance move. But hey, our generation, the nut bush.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that you'd be in a nightclub and all of a sudden, down.
You know what? You can make fun of it, but people love doing things in unison. It's tribal. Oh, you think of a tribal dance.
Line dance.
Think of the New Zealand haka.
Yeah.
People just go... I don't know what it is. Just makes me feel good.
What are the other ones? Bus stop. Can't stop. Remember the bus stop?
Oh, yeah.
Going to the party. Which was, I just remember being at the Stage One Disco, the Manhattan Hotel in Ringwood, which had revolving dance floors. And you'd be on there doing a bit of freestyle dance. And it was pretty brave to dance in Ringwood in the outer suburbs.
Yeah, because you might get beaten up.
Yeah, in the early 80s. You get bashed for being homosexual. Or that's what they thought or whatever. And so they'd... And you'd be brave, but that's where all the girls were, weren't they? They were on the dance floor.
Yeah, if you cut a move, the girls loved it.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're doing a bit of dancing to Duran Duran. Then all of a sudden, the bus stop would come on, and all the girls.
It
would
was get a in sort unison. Of a box move, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Go to. I watched it the other day.
Yeah.
The original bus stop film clip is fantastic with the black guys doing it.
I got to say, I did love the Macarena.
Oh, you love Macarena? See, that was 90s, I reckon. That was 90s, I reckon. Because remember the famous bit of.
Macarena was this one, wasn't it?
The Macarena. That's it.
No, I didn't love that. I loved the other one that was recently big.
Well, remember the Macarena, the Costello, Peter Costello went on, and they used the footage all the time on Carrie Ann's midday show, and she made him do the Macarena.
Yeah, you just don't do
and
it.
That haunted him.
Just don't
it's do like it. John Howard bowling and all that. Those things, they just haunt them, don't they?
I was just on a flight back from New Zealand, and the hostess recognised me and said, can you get up and do a photograph? And I said, yeah, sure. I'd just woken up. I was a bit groggy. Groggy. And they go, okay, we'll do the power walk and you do the power walk with us. I'm going, no. Because I'm at the front of the plane. I was flying up the front. Okay, fair enough. But the whole plane was looking. I'm going, I'm not going to do that.
You go to the power
walk. So she did one of those. She did one of those boomerang things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. What was the other one that was big? The Korean one.
The time warp? Oh, no. Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style. That was like a cowboy
that
movie.
That was great.
That was fantastic.
My kids did that. The Gangnam Style was big for a while.
And
they used to love it, but the teachers at school didn't like the bit where it went sexy lady.
Sexy lady.
So they would say chips and gravy. Chips and gravy.
Hey, let's do a couple for the older listeners. The Stomp.
Oh, The Stomp.
The Stomp was hand behind. That's 60s.
Yeah, that is 60s.
That's where hands behind the back and just, it was really simple. It's a step over, step back, step over, step back.
Yeah, right.
And then there was
the Sharpie dance.
Oh, the Sharpie. That was dance. They used to do that on Fast Forward, didn't they?
Yeah, Magda and Alan Pentland, Ferret.
The Twist?
Ferret and Michelle.
The Twist?
Let's Twist again.
Yeah. And the classic that still, I reckon, surely your kids still do, the Limbo Rock.
Limbo.
It's a stick, isn't it?
Under a stick. Limbo, that's good fun. And also Hokey Pokey.
Oh, you put your right hand in. Hokey Pokey. Take it all about. You do the Hokey Pokey.
You're right, it's a communal thing. I remember going to church dances at my nana's church, and everyone from the 5-year-olds to the 85-year-olds getting up doing the Hokey Pokey.
It goes to something right into your primeval.
Because you know what they say, Glenn? That's what it's all about. I wonder if someone owns that song. You know, we've talked about this before. People own, like, Happy Birthday's owned by a record company.
It is.
What if Hokey Pokey's owned by anyone?
It is.
Must be owned by someone.
It's, you know what it is? It's a perfect setup for a callback joke. Because it's something you go on talking, and then a bit later on, you go, and how'd you go with the meeting that girl the other night, whatever it is? You put your right hand in.
You put your right
hand. And you shake it all.
Imagine being the guy or the woman who owns the Hokey Pokey dance. Imagine building your empire on.
But imagine, coming up with it. Imagine going, oh, guys, got an idea for a dance? Where you put your right hand in, What about, you know what I love? Country and Western calling. Take your partner by the hand and swing around.
They do that in bush dances. We had a bush dance at school.
Oh, boot scooting.
Yeah, great.
But look, you can laugh, but when you're in a boot scooting, because we did a lineup in Kath and Kim.
Great fun.
Oh, you loved it. You loved it because you just go shimmy and kick and turn, and you get goosebumps as you're doing it. Anyway.
The woman who used to sell stuff on a trolley at Nova, like sold food, she met a new partner at boot scooting. There you go. It's like Tinder for old people.
And then they probably kept on.
He's a lovely guy. I saw him the other day. Yeah.
Now you think about them.
Boot scooting.
Probably at home in the nude. Doing a bit of this kind
of, we used to go to bush dances when we were kids. And so they used to have them at the Uniting Church Hall. We weren't Uniting Church.
Yeah.
And I remember Noddy's dad, Mr. Ikey, would drop us off. And then what you do, boys would line up on one side and girls would line up the other, and you try and be calculating which girl you'd get.
Oh, you'd wow.
Then you'd be pushing other boys. No, I don't want to.
What do they call it? A barn dance?
Yeah, they're barn dancers. They were barn dancers.
So you'd swap after the.
Yeah. Initially with a girl, and then we'd get in the car. We're like 14, and Mr. Ikey would go, how'd you go, boys? Meet any nice girls? Shut up, Dad.
You would have been pretty good with the girls, wouldn't you?
No. I didn't have sisters or anything. So
yeah, so I'm one of three boys. I didn't know. They were like
They're very mysterious, like aliens.
Yeah. You didn't know how they were going to react.
I mean, I went to a co-ed school, but
yeah,
it was bush dancing. We got to hold them and get close to them. That was exciting. But even then, like, you went to scouts, there were no girls.
Jeez,
only adventurers ever go.
Very closed upbringing for you. Yeah. And then, of course, you went on to be a senior scout, which just goes to show
Rover.
That you
were, there were girls in Rovers.
Yeah. Floss dancing, it's a fad. It's taken off.
The jitterbug.
And you would have to question, if it is a fad, how do you monetize it? Which I think.
Wow. Well, let's move on to the court. Yeah. You've been to court? You have been to court.
Yeah, went to Werribee Court for a speeding fine. Represented myself. And the cameras were there, and they thought they were there for me, and they were there for some footballer.
Footballer. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, my God. Glenn Roberts is here. What's he doing here?
I'm laughing.
Did you find it very serious when you went into... I've never been to court, but did you find it very serious when you went in there?
It wasn't too bad. It felt accessible, and it felt as though you could... It was appropriate for someone to represent themselves. It wasn't, like, so highfalutin that you couldn't...
It was magistrates, yeah.
It was magistrate, yeah. Yeah, and he was good.
My
cost me $30.
Oh, there you go.
I got the points back. I got 1 point back.
Yeah. He was lenient. Was he a fan of yours or?
Oh, I don't want to say too
much. Chris Franklin tells the story. No, the bloke. I'm a bloke. He's a comedian. He's like a bogan comedian. Yeah. And he won't be offended because that's what he calls himself. Anyway, he went to court for, he talks about this in his stand-up, for he came home early from a comedy gig and found his wife in bed with his... plumber friend I don't know. And so he threw him through a window.
Oh.
Which is it broke his hip, right?
Oh.
First floor window. And so anyway, he goes to the magistrate.
And it's his mate.
Oh, I don't know about a mate, but someone he knew.
Well, certainly came around to fix the plumbing that wasn't on the invoice.
And so he goes to court and in Townsville it was, and his lawyer says, man, you are going to prison.
Oh.
There is no doubt what's going to happen today. He sits down and the judge sits up and he goes, all right, next court, Marty Smith versus Chris Franklin. Oi, the bloke's here, everyone.
Oh.
And so the judge was a fan.
So then part
of the case, the guy representing the guy thrown out the window gets up and goes, Chris Franklin, the man over there, threw my man, from my defendant, out of the window of his house. And he goes, oh, whoa. It's not his house. He swore. He goes, it's his fucking house, all right? It's
really?
Franklin's fucking house, all right?
Right.
Yeah, and he didn't go to jail. Because the judge was a fan.
Well, there's a message in that.
I know. Try and find a sympathetic judge.
Yeah. Seriously, you're lucky you didn't kill him.
Yeah, I know.
But You know, he lived to tell the tale.
He lived to tell the tale. But I know, I've never been in court. Never been in court.
I'm just trying to think. Yeah, I visited the court the other day just for a bit of fun.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, people say you can go and sit
in the federal court.
Where was that? In Canberra? No, here.
In the city, Melbourne.
And what was being tried?
Well, one of the ladies from...
Housewives. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, really.
Really?
Yeah. Housewives of... What is it? Housewives of Melbourne. Is that what it's called?
Maybe you've told me this before. Yeah, I think I don't know how I've guessed that. So what? And you were just walking past and thought you'd have a look?
Yeah. I don't want to go into the details.
I know you're a fan of just going to churches when you've got a bit of spare time. And there's always someone
vacuuming. Just go for a bit of solace, a little bit of downtime.
So that's what I know there's you occasionally hear lawyers on the radio saying you can just go and have a look at court. It's really interesting.
If you can tune into the story, it's a story.
But if it's a big note, I'm like George Powell, got to get there early.
You have to get there early.
6 a.m. Line up.
Get a good seat.
Tickets to Kiss or something like that.
What if you could bring chocolates and stuff? Bring your lunch.
You must be able to bring a thermos.
Surely a thermos as well.
Ever done jury duty?
No. Have you?
No, but I've been asked. And
What do you say?
I can't remember what I said, but I got out of it. But the guy told me, a friend who's a lawyer said, if you ever get asked to do jury duty, turn up and wear a huge cross on your chest. And then the lawyer would just go, nah, I got a God botherer here. It's going to...
Now, this Dave O'Neill.
Oh, he's a Christian.
I didn't know that.
One of the dads at school did jury duty, and he's like a pilot, so he's busy, right?
Yeah.
But he got asked, he had to do it, and it was a drug case, right? A drug... And he said there was just so much time wasting. It was so frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, like, it was so obvious these guys did it. They were going to be found guilty. They were caught red-handed.
Yeah.
And it got to, like, this last day, and the judge went, all right, we're going to take a break. Oh, well... No, we'll come back tomorrow. And he's like, don't come back tomorrow. Why do we have to come back tomorrow? Yeah. Just to get it sorted, you idiots.
Yeah.
He said it was really frustrating.
Because I think, when you watch Judge Judy, the frustrating part about that, Judge Judy was always, basically Judge Judy is, it was a loan, it was a gift. It's always, I loaned you the money. No, it was a gift.
Yeah.
And she's very quick, though. I go, how's she going to, and she's, I'm thinking, Judge Judy should be used on some of the bigger cases to get him over with a bit quicker.
That's true.
We're done.
Yeah, George Powell. Judge Judy and George Powell.
I don't know. If Judge Judy was up there, I would be back in. I'd probably get a fair trial.
And you met her, didn't you? You did the panel with her.
Yeah, she had it up. Yeah,
and she had a go at you? No, you had a sort of...
I said to her, she's married to a lawyer, and I said, that must be interesting when you have an argument. Who wins most of the arguments given the situation? She goes... She paused and was ready to just
attack,
and then realized she was on TV. television, and she was attacking Uncle Arthur, which is
doesn't look good.
Yeah,
never a good look.
Favorite US court show, TV show.
Oh, I used to like Night Court. Remember Night Court?
Oh, it was a comedy.
Yeah, I like that. There's something on Facebook which is some American judge which I've watched occasionally. I can't remember his name, but he's a very sympathetic judge. They always have these really hard case stories, hard. But also, they have like a veteran on who ran a red light, and he just, like a really old guy my dad's age in his 80s, and he goes, "Hello, sir, how are you? You served your country?" He goes, "I served in three trips to Vietnam," and he said, "So why did you go through the red light?" And he goes, "Well, my wife was sick, and I was rushing into the hospital." And he goes, "Case dismissed. Get out of here."
Yeah.
And they're always feel good stories.
Yeah.
And he has a single mom with three kids who had a parking fine.
What was that called?
I can't remember. It's like some sympathetic judge show.
Good guy judge.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking more like your Boston Legals, your LA Laws.
Oh.
Because it was a soap opera, really. Well, not a soap opera. Yeah. Some of it was good drama. But, what about the closings? Oh, that'd be good think music.
What's that?
Like one of the great...
Closing speeches.
Closing speeches or speeches in a courtroom or... wasn't The Killer Mockingbird? Didn't he have some great stuff?
Yes, he did.
And the other good one is you can't handle the truth.
Oh, yeah.
So Jack Nicholson with Tom Cruise. Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. Anyway, US court.
You can't handle the truth.
US court.
And what else can we say? Yeah. US court.
I don't know.
I met a judge. He was a federal court judge. I did this gig at a Jewish football club, which I didn't know it was a Jewish football club. I've told this story in stand-up before, but a friend of the show, Brennan Luno, he's a writer, he's a comedy writer.
Yeah.
His kid played football at his club.
Mm.
Now, he's half Jewish, Jewish. I didn't know. You know, I just get to this footy club in Elston Wick. I go in there.
Mm.
All middle-aged men sitting around because it's all the sponsors and the dads of the young players. But it was a Jewish football club. I didn't know that. So I said to this guy, what are you for a job? And he goes, I'm a judge. I'm like, this has never happened before at a footy club. Because normally they're teachers or plumbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, well, are you magistrates? He goes, mate, if I was magistrate, I'd know you.
Hello.
And he goes, I'm a federal court judge. And his name was Morty Bombeck, who played for St Kilda. And I saw him in the paper the other day. He's still working as a federal or Supreme Court judge.
A big listener to this show.
Yeah, but he loves it.
Hey,
he loves
Morty?
It. Yeah. And then the next guy, I said, what do you do? And he goes, I'm a federal politician. It was Josh Frydenberg.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and then Anthony Pratt was there as well from Visi. I said,
what is going on here?
That's what I said. Is this a normal football club? Yeah. My mind was spinning. I didn't know what was going on. They loved it. They thought it was a...
And then you got off, said you were coming with me. It would be inappropriate.
No, they were great.
I'll give you a tip. If you're ever in court and you're getting towards a judgment, don't have it come down just before lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have a friend of mine who's a federal judge or whatever, and I read somewhere that if you're a bit hungry, your blood sugars drop and your decision-making process isn't quite as good.
Like I am now.
Like me too. Ready for burgers, as we always say after the show, that you won't get – you'll often – the judge will be a bit grumpy.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. It's like teachers anyway.
Yeah, a bit grumpy just before lunch because you're not thinking about what's in front of you. You're thinking about what am I going to have for lunch? She's thinking, or he's thinking, salad roll, maybe, or I might have a souvlaki.
Surely they get food brought in, wouldn't they, the judges? They wouldn't be wandering down.
You reckon
they
have a cafeteria down the back? They'd pick up a tray?
They'd have a cafeteria. How you going today, Morty? Oh, I had a tough one this morning, boys.
She's at our golf club, and it is funny when you're lining up for coffee and you go, I'm standing next to a judge. You know, because
I wonder in that canteen if the judges sit together and the security guys sit together and the lawyers, or if they have different tables. Like it's a woman who's a federal court judge, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I won't say no.
Do you talk about cases?
Sometimes when we have, yeah, I enjoy doing that. But, you know, it's like, you're talking like it's talking to a surgeon about like talking to you about comedy. You're on a whole different level. You can't even begin to converse with them because you don't really understand the intricacies of what they.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but then
you
again,
do you see when people do ask you intricacies about TV shows and that, and they say, what was Spicks and Specs like?" And you go, "Oh, it was good." And then you start talking about it, you see their faces.
Oh yeah,
over, like
yeah,
they don't want to hear behind. They don't want to ruin the magic.
No. Because I will often point out things when I'm watching Stop with the Family. I go, oh, you should have seen that scene there. It was really hard because we had to. That's what the story. They want to believe in what's happening on screen. They don't want the behind the scenes. Don't pull the curtain back and show what's going on.
No.
So anyway, look, you know, I got B+ for legal studies in year 12.
Oh, I got a C, I think.
One of my favourite subjects.
Yeah. You could have been a good lawyer.
No, I wouldn't have been a good lawyer. I would have been too emotionally caught up in the
mold. Oh, wow. Crying in the court. Why is the lawyer crying? This guy's telling me a story the other day that he was up for charges and he went to court, right? And he's standing there and the security guy goes, hey, psst, mate. Hey, it's me, Tony from school. He looks over and he went to school with the security guard. He goes, hey, Tony, how you going? He goes, good, mate. Yeah. He goes, this judge, no good, mate. He's a harsh man.
Yeah.
And he was right. The judge was a harsh man.
Yeah, you go, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Have a good day. Good to see you again. Yeah,
well, let's have some thinking music.
Which one do you want to hear?
Yeah, no, we'll have a few good men. Was that a few good men?
Yeah, I reckon a few good men.
You can't handle the truth.
I just want to hear, you want me on that wall. You need, I'm a huge Jack Nicholson fan. You need me on that wall.
Have you seen about Schmidt? When he plays a guy.
Great film.
Oh, that's
great
the
film.
Best.
Yeah, he's retired, isn't he? And he's lost a bit, and he goes on a road trip.
Yes, and the scene at the start where the guy makes a speech at his going away party.
Oh,
the retired guy.
Yeah. What's poor old Jack? He's not making films anymore. I don't know what he's doing, but he is. He's probably my favourite actor.
Incredible.
He's just got that sense of charm, mischief, anything could happen. You know,
incredible.
Tough guy, but also, you know, lovable. You know, women love him, men want to be him, whatever that saying is. Anyway,
okay,
let's have a listen to Jack on A Few Good Men.
A Few Good
Men
is Tom Cruise.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Yeah, good scene, good movie. I think Rob Reiner movie by memory. The guy
was it? I saw the play on Broadway.
With who?
Tom Hulse played the. It was the. Jeff Stilson said you should see this while you're here. It's the best play I've ever seen.
Wow.
It's just a court. It's a courtroom scene, and
You went at my school musical the other night. Whatever. Yeah, it's a courtroom play.
Yeah, it's a courtroom play. It's great. So anyway,
good play can catch you by surprise. It's a thing. Okay, who wants to have a guess? I think I know it.
I'm going to say there's some sort of copyright problem with it, and it's gone to court, and that someone has tried to monetize it, or people are making money out of it, and the person who created it has stuck up their hand and said, I created this, and therefore I'm going to take it to court. Whether they can, what the precedent would be on being able to copyright a move would be fascinating.
Mm.
So is that basically, do you think, is that what you're thinking?
Yes, yeah. I'm pretty sure what happened was that they used his flossing dance in a video game. Fortnite, maybe? Fortnite.
Right.
And it hasn't gone to court yet, or it's in the process of going to court. But let's get the answer from Sam.
Yep.
The creator of the flossing dance has had his mother file complaints against the makers of Fortnite, the video game, in the Los Angeles Federal District Court. Characters in the game Fortnite will sometimes performing an enthusiastic back and forth arm swinging motion that looks just like the floss. Two other dance creators are also on the complaint against Fortnite creator Epic Games. There are some great articles about it in the show notes.
We were right. There we go.
There we go. I mean,
that's incredible, though. But apparently now dancers have been owned before, though. Like the Jitterbug's owned by someone, I think. But so the Macarena might be copyrighted, and that's fair enough, isn't it? Don't you reckon?
Well, it's like that Kookaburra sits on the old gum tree thing with the men at work.
Yeah.
I mean, if it exists, so therefore that's why you're using it.
Mm.
But I think it's fair enough.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
But especially with a video game, surely it's a point of recognition.
They've just ripped it off.
And all you've got, I mean, but what do you do?
What if, what if someone did the cow walk in like Fortnite? Or?
Well, if they did it in an ad or something. But that's called passing off, isn't it? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. We're not copyright lawyers.
Yeah. Where if someone does a funny, but you can see a lot of times in advertising, you can see they steal the sensibility, but they don't steal anything else.
I went to an audition for an ad it was set in a fish and chip shop, and the guy goes, and this was like at least 15 years ago, what we're looking for is you to play a Greek kind of fruit shop owner.
Oh, really?
I said, what, like Con the Fruiterer? He goes, yeah, exactly. I said, why don't you get Con the Fruiterer to do it?
Mm.
Oh, no, we can't afford him. So I had to say, like, come down, get some pickle onions. These pickle onions are the best. I can't remember what the product was. It was a drink. And then I'm just saying to the guy, well, why not get a Greek guy? Anyway, I saw the ad on TV, and they had an Australian actor playing a Greek guy.
Yeah.
And it was a ripoff of Con the Fruiterer.
Yep.
There's a guy that does Mick Molloy's voice for a betting company.
Really?
Oh, it sounds exactly like him. Because I said to him, oh, I've heard your betting ads. He goes, that's not me. He goes, there's some guy who does my voice. He's not happy about it. Because you just listen to it and go, oh, that's Mick Molloy. But you know, remember they brought out those Boonie dolls where they came away with VBs and he'd say, yeah, drink another slab of beer on the plane or whatever.
Yeah.
That wasn't him. So they got a voice guy to do it. We spoke to him on the radio once.
That's terrible.
I know.
You watch it unfold, there's nothing you can do about it.
Boonie was asked to do it, and he said he didn't want to do it or something, but he was happy for someone to do it. I still remember the day that we found this out on when I was working on Nova with Hughie and Kate, and Hughie goes, no, I've got Boonie's number. We should ring him. And so it was like 7 in the morning. Boonie's in Perth.
Oh, well, that's like 3 in the morning.
Something
isn't it?
Like that. Hello. I'm like backing away from the microphone, pointing at Hughie. He's like, Boonie, mate, it's Hughie. Mate, it's 3 in the morning. I'm in Perth. Oh, so not a good time to talk? You're on the radio. No, not a good time. Just hangs up. And then we rang him back the next day, and he's like, he was obviously awake by then. He's like, well, so why have you got your phone on? He goes, mate, I've got little kids. I have to leave my phone on. So, God, it was funny.
What if we got Booney's number? Oh, it's interesting.
You know. Have you got Warney's number?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but anyway.
What other cricketers? You got Gilchrist's number?
No, but I've got Healy. Healy's number. And it was good because I texted him the other night because he was commentating the cricket.
No, and he said good job.
Yeah, he said good job.
Or shit house.
Yeah.
Pick up your Ricky Ponting. Got Ricky Ponting's number?
No. That's the only thing. But anyway, I could probably get it if you
want. I've got, like, in terms of sportsmen, Tony Short's number. Former Collingwood premiership.
Well, you know what we should do? We should have a game where we just go through our phone.
Oh, you'd win though.
Where we go A grade, B grade, and C grade celebs.
Well, sports people don't have a lot of sports people.
But you'd have a lot of big names in your phone.
Joel Creasy, just looking at it now. Kate McLennan from the Cates, you know. Kitty Flanagan, that's pretty good. Just give us one name. Just one name.
I think I just want to give me one name. John Blackman. It's got the,
wow.
Yeah.
Marty Sheargold, you'd have Marty Sheargold.
Yeah, I've got Carl Barron.
Carl Barron, I don't have him.
That's pretty impressive.
Successful.
Who else we got here? Hang on.
Bet you don't have Paul Aircon, man.
I've got Chrissy Swan. That's pretty good.
Oh yeah, I've got. Yeah. Bet you don't have Pancakes.
This is really indulgent. This is such a.
Bet you don't have Mandy Nolan. Bet you don't have Lorraine from the ABC. Who I don't even know who that is.
I got Delbrook. I only just got Delbrook for recently.
Derek J. Singer.
Yeah, got his. Yeah. We got Hamish and Andy. I've got.
Yeah. Oh, I've got Hamish, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. I've got Jeff the electrician. I don't know who he is.
I've got Hannah Gatsby. Why does that still work? I've got Harry Roseland, Peter Roseland's nephew. Should we give him a call?
Can we now say at this point?
Okay, the music's starting. All right.
So
this
is the story. Mm. And so this is pretty gross.
I got George Smelovich, but you know that one.
I'll give you an
Come on, what 80s stars have you got in there? Are you got any 80s people? You'd have Mark Mitchell.
Yeah, I got Mark Mitchell.
Yeah. Story.
I got Jack Levi.
No, I've got him.
Alec Goblet. Yeah. There's one on everything. There's one that pops up.
I've got Brooksy from The Music Man.
Yeah.
We are The Music Man.
Yeah. Got my
come from down your way.
Friend there.
Hitchhiking.
Turn off now if you don't want to hear a gross story.
Huh.
Okay. So a friend of mine sailing a yacht, and was in a remote part of I think Northern Australia. I think his wife became sick, so they pulled into a port. They didn't have a car, so they had to hitchhike because it's on the topic of hitchhiking.
Wow.
So a car finally pulls up, and they said, "Where are you going?" And they said, "We're going to the hospital. My wife is sick." He goes, "Well, we're going to the hospital too. Our son's sick. He's in the back seat."
Oh, no.
The kid's got nausea. He's vomiting into a bucket.
A bag or something, yeah.
Anyway, so my friend sits in the middle next to the kid vomiting, and his wife sits next to...
Vomiting as well?
No, she was not doing well. She unwinds the window. Oh, this is horrible. Oh, no. This is horrible, horrible, horrible. Anyway, so they're driving along and they're just barely, you know, keeping it together. And my friend, she puts her head out the window.
Right out the window
to get fresh air. He watches the guy in the front seat, in the passenger seat, go...
Oh, no.
He spits out the window.
Oh, no.
And it goes...
Hits her in the head.
Straight in her mouth.
Oh!
I told you it was bad. Okay, I gave you a warning. Straight in her mouth.
Okay.
I hate... We shouldn't end on that on that note.
No, we're going to...
But it was on topic. We were talking about hitchhiking and things going wrong with
hitchhiking. And everyone's well now.
Everyone's fine. And she got to hospital and the kid was well again. But just a bit of a tip.
Yeah.
If you are in the back seat, being picked up, don't put your head out the window.
Yeah, mind the window up. Keep those windows up. Like you're going through a lion park in the old days. Keep those windows up.
Don't stop
up.
Listening to the podcast because we told you that story.
It's a real life story. We can cope with that. Wasn't that bad?
You know, if you're writing a book about your life, you'd put that one in.
Oh, definitely. Mm. It's a highlight. Mm. Anyway, we're going to have hamburgers now. Yeah, yeah. Have a look at our Facebook page, the group. Get involved.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.